Okay, let's begin. Someone want to read the Mishnah for us? Just quickly get through the basic idea of the Mishnah here. Mazgul okay, Shani? Someone? Okay, Dov, you want to read?
Okay. Mazgul okay, Shani, Vikana Ben Shoel, Avi. So you mix the second cup, and here the son asks his father. Vim Ein Das Ben, Avi Malamdo. If the son doesn't have das, so the father teaches him.
Okay.
Yeah.
Two quick questions.
Yes, question.
What's the significance of the second coast that we're asking about, the second coast as opposed to the other coast?
Well, the first coast is Kiddush. So each one of the Dalit Kosos corresponds to a different... section or a different mitzvah of the night. The first kos was discussed earlier in the Mishnah on Kuf Yudalad Amunah. Mozgulo kos Rishon. That's the Kiddush kos. This is the Magid kos. So the Mishnah is just saying, we pour the cup, now we have the second kos. Once the second kos is filled, we're ready to go with Magid.
Yeah, but Rashi says...
Okay, almost right. It's a trigger. Rashi is saying, what's the trigger for the question of the kid? Sees you doing something, what? Something, you see something a little weird. Usually make kiddush and eat. Now you didn't eat yet, and you're pouring another cup of wine. Right? So that's, it's I guess, unusual in that sense. So he sees we're starting something else. We're holding the cup, and we're not washing, we're not making amotzi, we're not sitting down to eat. So Rashi is saying that's why it's an appropriate time to for the child to be inquisitive now. Okay?
According to the das of the son, the father will teach him. He started off with tragedy.
Dishonor. The low point. So, you know, something negative, about the humble beginnings of Klal Yisrael. Let's put it that way.
And you end up with the praising.
And you go up to the shrach. You start with the nadir, and you move up to the apex. Right? You start at the lowest point of our existence. And we know, Darach Agav, that's a machlokas in the Gemara, what type of gnus are we talking about? Machlokas Rav and Shmuel. Do we start from Avadim Hayinu? Or do we start from Mitchila Ovdei Avodah Zarah, Yovaseinu? What's the difference between those two? What's the argument?
Well, the real, objectively speaking, the worst part is the Avodah Zarah, that our fathers were idol worshippers.
Okay, that's one sheet, obviously. So, exactly. In other words, if you're going to talk about the spiritual low point, let's talk about the spiritual gindus, then you're talking about what? You're talking about Mitchila Odei Vazara Yoseinu. But if you're talking about, insofar as the Shibud's concerned, if you're talking physically in terms of the Egyptian experience, in terms of Mitzrayim, then you're talking about what? Then you're talking about Avadim Hayinu.
Okay.
Well, my son, we have both. We have incorporated into our God that we have both. Yeah, question? I'm fairly confident that we've got a little bit off that. Let's try to work our way back. I'm happy to discuss these other issues, but there was one thing I wanted to focus on here. So the Mishnah says, we pour the second cup, the child asks his father, and if the child doesn't have the mental acuity to do so, then what? Avim Malamdo. The father teaches him, and the way the Mishnah is set up, it sounds like he actually teaches him the text of the Manashtana, right? Okay, at the end of that list, after the Mishnah goes through the text of the Manashtana, which we recognize is somewhat different from the text that we have today, what does the Mishnah say? Right, and as apparently a general observation, the Mishnah says the father must teach the son according to his specific mental abilities. Right? He instructs the child according to his mental abilities. So just one question that I would raise here is manashach. If you tell me that the kid's supposed to ask the father And if the father can't, if he doesn't ask the father because he doesn't have the ability to do so, then you have to teach him X, Y, and Z. What does it seem like? It seems like that's what he should have asked, but he doesn't know how to ask that, so you teach him how to ask. Then it says, well, you also have to teach him according to his ability. Well, what does that mean? Are you teaching the text? You're not teaching the text.
I mean, the text is just the basic...
okay, are you getting an answer ready?
And then you could go in.
Right, so Avi Hirschman wants to say that maybe the Manashtana is not the end all and be all. Not the, it's not the entirety of what has to be taught to the child. But at the very minimum, he has to be taught that. And then if there's further abilities with the son, then you have a chiyuv to teach him beyond that. That's what you want to say? Mm-hmm. Okay. 1 second. Zach, you want to say something?
Yeah. Well, I forget who said this, which would be Sean or Aharon, but it says that, it might have been the Gra, but he said that that the amazing thing about the Torah in general is that it's one book and it can be taught. That was it. So I pretty much agree with what I was going to say. What's his name over there?
Avi Hirschman.
Yeah, so I was going to say, yeah, because that's the unbelievable thing that Kai has to do. Because you can be like,
no, your question is an important
one. Go ahead.
Yeah, so, like, you can teach, like, the Bereshit, like, to a little kid. And,
right.
And then it can be explained on, like, quantum physics and how it's in line with science and all this stuff, so.
I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think Reb Chaim said that.
Yeah, Reb Chaim, because I remember it from the Seder last year.
Right, it's he says that with regard to the passage in the Haggadah when we say, we have a Haggadah handy here? Yeah, but I want to keep that open for the Rambam, so I confuse myself. Yeah. So when we say right after the four sons, right before the four sons,
is that a requirement?
No, but I'm remembering what I think you're referring to. Yeah, right before the introduction to the four personalities, right, to which we have to address ourselves during the Sipur. The Haggadah says, Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu, Baruch Shanatan Torah L'Amo Yisrael Baruch Hu. We're sort of saying a form of Birkas HaTorah. We're saying, blessed Hashem, He gave us the Torah, blessed is He, and then, can I get our Rabbanim Dibur Torah? So what you're saying, I think, is what Reb Chaim said, and that is that we're acknowledging that the Torah is such that it can be understood on different levels, by different people. It's not like, Euclidean geometry, you have it or you don't. Or certain other field, either you know it or you don't know it. The Torah can be understood and appreciated by people at different points in their maturation. I think that's a good point. So you want to say that's what the Mishnah means here as well. That, yeah, you have to teach them these ideas, right, the Manashtana, but you could teach it on deeper levels. Is that what you're saying, Avi?
Yeah. Well, not just necessarily a deeper level, but teach him more about the...
About each one of those things.
Yeah.
And that's also kind of illustrated
by
the story.
I'm not sure. That's part of my question. Yeah? I'd like to hear you say
it. It's also kind of illustrated by the story of the rabbis who stayed up all night. Because they were, like, it's... And they, like, because they had the same Manishtana also. So it's like, why did these great rabbis, they know Manishtana, like, why do they need to study it every single year?
Oh, so we're going to get to that. That's what I'm going to get. That's the Gemara. Hold off on that 1 second, that thought. But you want to say something else, Dov?
It's already going in the second part of Maskil Beginus, Sayyid Mishela. It says, the army of the Achim were called Parshikula. In terms of that, you should, whatever you can understand in that partial teaching.
So that's a good question. Where does this statement fit in? See, before he's just talking about the father teaching, and then he says, this is what you teach him, and you teach him according to his means. And now he's saying that there's a formula for the Sipur. What's the formula? Matzal b'gnos m'sayim m'shavach. V'dorish men rami ovid avi ad shigmar kol ha'parsha kula. But you want to say that maybe that last phrase is more appropriately appended to that? L'fidayto shalbein aviv m'lamdo. How? Matzal b'gnos m'sayim m'shavach?
Yeah.
So what does that mean with regard to the Manashtana then? How does the Manashtana fit in there?
There's something else. How does it fit into that part?
In other words, the Mishnah says, you pour the second cup, the child asks, right. And if he doesn't ask, then the father must teach him the Manashtana.
Right.
And the Mishnah lists the Manashtana. Then what? Then, according to the ability of the child,
talking about the rest of the stuff that happened. Moscow began to listen to the show.
So what's the role of the Manishtana?
Reading the Manishtana fulfills the mitzvah mitzvah.
Say again?
It's a mitzvah to teach your son, right? So the Manishtana is the Maisa.
It's introduction?
Yeah.
But the child
that. Okay.
All right, so let's take a look at the Gemara. Let's just take a look at the first few lines of the Gemara, and then we'll come back and see if we can make some sense of this. But there is a difficulty here. I mean, there is some confusion here. I don't mean just in the room. I mean, I'm saying the Mishnah is a little bit difficult to understand. So let's see the first four lines of the Gemara here. And let's see if we can make some sense of at least this, maybe one or two nekudos here in the Gemara, all right? And maybe through that we can understand the Mishnah. Tana Rabbanan?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Tana Rabbanan, Chacham B'no Sholo. So if your son is a Chacham, you should ask him.
Right, so if your person has a son who is intelligent enough, who is prodigious, so he asks the father questions.
Right,
so you might have a child, but the child is not on the level to start asking questions yet, for whatever reason. So then what happens?
The wife asks.
His wife asks.
And his wife.
Now, let's say he doesn't have a wife, or for whatever reason, his wife is not able to ask questions. Then what happens?
He asks them to himself.
Is that to have a question and answer session going, or to get the kid to have?
Oh, let's see. Oh, so you get the kid?
Yeah.
No, the kid's out of the picture at this point.
Not even to help him start him off. And then, no.
Not as far as the Gemara is concerned, okay. Right? The Gemara says, first, if you have a child that's able to ask you questions, the child asks you questions. If not, your wife asks you questions. Okay. If not, then you ask questions yourselves.
Right.
And as Dov said, and this is what you're referring to also, Zach, you have two sages, two Talmidei Chachamim, who are very learned. Even they, amongst themselves, have to ask these questions, or ask questions.
I mean, it seems as though it's not like, it's not a chinuch aspect, really. Because it's more, even if there's no child involved, you still have other people. It seems more of a conversation starter.
Okay, so let's take that slow. So let's just focus now on the Gemara for a moment. And we'll see if we can try to go back and understand the Mishnah. What's unique about that last statement in the Gemara, by the way? What would you expect the Gemara to continue with? Even two Talmidei Chacham, who what? Who knows Sefer Shmos? Right? Who know Parshas Shmos Ve'ira and Bo Kol? Right? They know the whole story. Maybe Mishalach also.
Right? It's not just the story, it's the Hilchos basically.
I understand, but that's noteworthy. Why is he going to tell me, even two people who are fully versed in Hilchos Pesach...
Maybe it's just like, they know the halachos, they for sure know the story.
Really?
No.
Why
not?
You
should opposite. When you go to a typical yeshiva, I mean, you guys know Gemara, and they, maybe they know some halacha, but they don't know Tanakh.
So you don't see...
They know.
I don't think necessarily because they know halacha, they know other things. I don't know if that's necessarily true.
Imagine what happened is...
That's great. That's another question. Why is the Gemara telling me that? Oh, they're potter. They're not. Sorry, they're chayev. Even though they know halacha, they're chayev. Would you say a guy who knows gans halchus lulav, he doesn't have to take the arba mina? He wouldn't think such a thing. He doesn't have to wear tefillin if he spends 6 months discussing the halachos of tefillin. We don't have such an idea. So let's see if we can at least draw out some ideas from here. Let's start with this point. What would you say? Let's take Heshi's comment. What's the Hava Mina? What's the Hava Mina? On that statement alone.
You mean
even two Chachamim, even two sages have to do this. What would you think?
That they don't have to do it.
Why not?
But if you're Talmud Chachamim, you already know that the halacha, it shouldn't apply to you.
Why? Why wouldn't
it? The point is to teach or to learn it.
Right. So if the whole point of this dialogue is to convey information to those that don't know it, then I'll say, then of course there's the Patur here. Because they know it. So why should I engage in this process? Apparently, Kamash Malan, that's not the case. It's not merely a conveyance of knowledge or information that person was previously lacking. It's more than that. It's the process itself which is of value. Right? I mean, by the same token, say the same thing about a guy asking himself questions. What does that mean? A guy's not going to ask himself a question that he can't... He's not going to ask himself a question that he can't answer. I mean, he's not going to verbalize a question that he can't answer.
Shouldn't that be worse?
What do you mean worse?
That should be the end of the Gemara.
You mean that should be the biggest Kiddush?
Yeah.
Why?
At least there's some. The Chacham can come with something, no? No? They're coming to each other. There is learning about...
They come with a new star or something, or...
Telling the other person, no, he didn't know. Or just talking to each other.
But again, if it's to convey... Oh, you mean, what's the hierarchy now? Why are you moving from Shaul's Atzmo to...
I mean, if you're saying that it's...
that's a good question.
But if you're saying it's the dialogue on it.
So Dov's asking a different question. Dov's saying, why move from Shalos Atzmo to an Avi? Move from Shalos Atzmo to the two Chachamim. I mean, it should be the other way around. So what do you guys say? What do you say about that?
No,
they're asking, what would be the Havmin? What's the Havmin by yourself? So even
say that you're not.
Right, if you're by yourself, there's no one to answer. So the Havmin is that if it's not a real, if it's a real question and answer, to ask someone for information to get it, right? So then I'd say, no, you shouldn't do it by yourself because you don't have anyone to speak to. No, Kamash Malan, again, that the process is important. The next step is, well, even where the process has no value in terms of information at all, right, you still have to do it. There's two sages. I think that's why the mission is built in that way. But the first step is that the process has value even where there's no other person to engage in the process. Where?
The guy's alone. Where's the information from?
No, in the Chlamy, there is none.
So it's the same thing by the couple, no? There's also no information being...
No. So by the...
No, but the guy himself could still have... it could still be an inquiry of sorts.
I mean, it's a real question. Not necessarily a real answer, but... I mean, there's no answer,
there's
but...
There's no answer,
at least because he doesn't know.
Exactly.
So by the Chlamy, there's no question because they know it, right?
Exactly.
It's not a real question.
Right. It could still be on a level where I have an inquiry... but I have no one to speak to about it. Okay, so I'm engaging in the process of inquiry. But in the second state, I'm saying, no, this is not really a traditional inquiry because they're not seeking information.
So, yeah. What does it mean with chacham b'na? If he's able to ask questions?
If the son is a chacham.
Yeah, but why is he a chacham?
It's a separate question now. What does it mean, chacham rasha? What does it mean, the Rambam doesn't...
Is it the same chacham as the chacham?
It sounds like... at least has to be. I wouldn't say necessarily the same. But it means the child's able to formulate questions. He's able to formulate the questions.
He's not
Shein Yedei Lishol. He's not right. He's not Shein Yedei Lishol. Exactly. He's not Tom. He's not Shein Yedei Lishol.
Oh, Tom. Who's Tom? He doesn't
answer. Also, he has a very, very open-ended question. Mazos. Okay. So I think that's a good point. But what about this idea about the wife asking if he can't ask? I'm sorry, if the child doesn't ask. And when do we get to the point where he has to ask himself the questions? Let's go with that mahalach, that there's a hierarchy here. When do we wind up with the person asking himself?
When there's no one else.
When his son can't do it and his daughter is...
No, it's not when no one else, because we see the next case is where there is someone else who you can discuss.
Wait a minute.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
What's the order? What's the order here?
The order the mission presents?
No, in terms of children. If you don't have a son.
Let's just stick with the mission now. We can get the women separately. But let's just stick with the mission.
Because it says if you don't have a child, then you have your wife ask.
Right. But what happened to the daughter?
Right.
I guess I said, let's just go with the mission for it. It's a good question. I mean, we'll get to women, perhaps, in a moment. Or if not today, maybe another time. But it's Lav Dafka, son. Let's use the word child. Okay, let's use the word child for now. You have no child. But it's going to be a good question because there is discussion as to whether or not women are included in the same way as men in Sibor. All right, so yeah, the son can't ask. The son can't ask, so you move over to wife.
For the women to give over the Sibor, or just for you?
One thing at a time.
This could be a problem because I'm the oldest guy, and I'm the oldest person in my family, I'm the only guy.
Okay, so you're here. You're not going to be home together?
No, I'm going to be home, but I was saying in the past, since we had someone younger, I wasn't the one who asked the question.
Oh, so let's get to that. What happened, when is it that the person's going to ask himself these questions? When's the first time it's going to happen? He doesn't have a son, and he doesn't have a wife who could ask. Or he doesn't, again, we're using the terms of the Mishnah. Saying it could apply to daughters, but let's just use the term of the Mishnah. What's the implication? If they would ask, then what?
If his son would ask.
Yeah. Or the wife would ask. Then he would not ask, right? Is that fair to say? Because it says Vimlav. First it's on the Vimlav, Ishta Shualto. If Imlav, then what? Then he has himself.
Or can we assume...
You're saying that's not the case?
No, I'm saying what else could it be?
I'm not, I'm just asking if you agree that's what it means. Okay. Yes, you agree with that?
I agree with
that. Okay, good. Now, if that's... Now there's a question.
Okay, yeah.
What's the question? What's happening here? What's happening? How would you describe what's happening here?
Going from...
I have a chiv to ask these questions? I have a chiv to ask the questions, right? Is that fair to say? If I'm by myself, I have to ask the questions.
I think the questions need to be asked.
Okay. Now you're answering the question. But what I'm trying to say is like this. If you look at it simply, what would you say here? I have a chiv to ask this question. But if someone else asks a question, then I'm yotze. I don't have to ask a question. My son will ask a question.
Well,
how about a woman? If you'll hold that a woman is pater from Sibor, as some do, we'll talk about that separately, perhaps. Then what? Then how can I dispense with my obligation to those questions? Again, if you tell me that I have to ask them by myself, but now I have someone else to ask, so therefore my chiyuv is dispensed with, what am I saying? I'm saying that they're pater from my chiyuv. So, l'chor, this should be a problem. How could a katan be the vehicle for my being exempt from a chiyuv?
I don't think it's something that you have to...
I just want
to
make sure you understand the question. You're going to give me an answer, which is good. I just want to make sure you understand the question. Good. Then you're back to being chayiv again. You have to ask yourself. Right?
If you're chayiv, how could they have answered how could they have fulfilled your chayiv for you in the first place?
All right, maybe you'll say, one person has to ask the questions. Everyone else hears it. You're asking about Shemei Kona. Okay, I'm asking the same questions, the same way, same question.
Or is there such a thing as a group that's well?
Okay, so that's what I think what Avi and Hashi and Dov maybe are thinking about. Let's hear.
Not group mitzvah, but I think it's
I'm not saying group mitzvah, but I think
it's one mitzvah upon himself to him being involved in the Sibor Yetziyah Mitzrayim and all aspects of it. So therefore, when he's doing it by himself, when he's asking himself the questions,
right,
he's therefore being osek with himself. So that's the last resort. The best way to do it would be to have as many people involved as possible, and he would. It's only his chiyuv. It's not necessarily a chiyuv that he has to mechayev other people.
Well, now what I'm asking, what role is the questioning playing?
He has to be present.
No, the question is just
himself. He's just a vehicle to have it present. It's not. He's not doing it towards his chiyuv. He's doing. He's just a vehicle because there's no one else there.
So
having questions exist.
So you're saying the questions have to be asked?
Not necessarily by him.
Why? Is it a chiyuv per se to ask questions?
Because the questions lead to the discussion of Sibor Yetziyah Mitzrayim.
So what are you saying? So you're saying that Sibor must emerge in response to questions.
Or would
it has to have the tzura of an answer.
Or would you say that the mitzvah of Sibor is to have the entire dialogue? You need the questions and the answer.
Well, if you're saying that you need the questions, if the question is an integral part of the Sibor, then you back to the question. Then how could it be that the woman is going to exempt him if you hold that women are paturos? How could a katan exempt you from the questions if the question is an integral part of the Sibor?
Because it's not necessarily the question itself, it's the process of having the question.
So that's what we're saying.
But it didn't say they're not in one person's view.
Right.
Exactly. Now, the magid has to have a certain form. Right. The question is a hechitimtza for the sipur to take place. It's a necessary prerequisite for sipur to take place, but it's not necessarily part of the sipur itself. Meaning, if the questions are asked and the sipur can be done in such a way that it is a response to questions, then what? Then it's a proper sipur. Right? So that's why you're not going to have this problem for the Isha. You're not going to have this problem for the Katan. What else?
you're not going to have the problem for the two chachamim.
But didn't we say by the two chachamim that it wasn't a genuine question because they already know the answer?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It doesn't have to. It has to have a certain format.
Yeah,
it has to have a certain suit. It's not an inquiry.
No, I know.
Oh, you're agreeing?
Yeah.
But what would flow from this? What would follow from this?
Well,
let's say the questions were posed.
You need a question. You need someone to question. You need someone to answer.
Let's say the questions are posed. Now what?
You're still not done.
Do I have to say Manish Tana? Just based on this, I don't want to hear anything outside of this right now.
What question did
you pose? Manish Tana. Let's say the kid asks the Manish Tana.
Somebody asks Manish Tana, do you have to answer yourself too?
Yeah.
No.
What did you say based on this?
It's already done.
No, because you already did your job.
Sounds like it's done already, right?
The kid, that's the situation the kid the Ben asked.
Right. Or the wife.
Yeah.
Right? Then I'm not looking to go ahead and repeat it. I'm sorry, can you get me? Is that Mr. Buran? Okay.
Of course.
Zion. Tough Ein Gimel, Steve Zion. Listen to the Ramah. He goes through what would appear to be the order of the Mishnah. Mosgen lo miyad kos sheni. Sounds familiar so far? We don't have miyad, but the Mechaber has the word miyad. Mishnah Berurah says, why does he say miyad? Ratzalomar shalo yamtin b'mizigas ha-kos achigil lefikach. Don't think that you should pour the cup later when you have to hold it. You pour it now, you're really supposed to have the cup for an entire Maggid. Some actually say you should hold the kos for Maggid, since Maggid is the mitzvah that's done a la kos, like Kiddush, like Berachas HaMazon, like Hallel. Right? That's not our issue for the moment. Kideshu yish'alu atinokos lama shosin kos sheni kodem suda. That they should ask, why are you drinking a second cup before the suda? Where is that question? Where is that question? Is that one of the questions? Is that the question of the Mishnah? Is that the question of the Rambam? No, but the Rashi and the Rashbam both say that that's why the kid's going to start asking now. Right?
The kid's why don't we start the questioning process earlier?
Oh, 1 second. The kid's going to start asking now. Vim ein chachma bebein, if the child doesn't have the ability to do so. Oviv melamdo. Period. Father teaches him. That's what the Mechaber is learning in the Mishnah. Im ein lo bein, meaning he doesn't have a bein to ask, and he doesn't have a bein that he could be melamed, ishto shalto. Then his wife asks the question. By the way, I think someone asked me this question the other day. I said that according to the Shitas that hold, the woman is mechuyevus and sipur, like the Sefer HaChinuch holds, she should be held to do part of Sipur. No reason why not. There's no difference between a man and a woman according to that Mahal. So in this edition of the Mishnah Berurah, I believe this has the Ha'aros of Rav Nevinzal.
Yeah, I think they're at the bottom.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Is this published by Nativ Arya?
Yeah. You learned it.
I know. He knows he's published by Nativ. So, in his Aras, he writes, "Mutter li'ish likro ketayim mehagada." It's permissible for a woman to read passages from the Haggadah, lelo shira, as long as she's not chanting it, not singing it. Gam b'nechochos achirim, even in the presence of men. Aval tavo bracha al noshim hatsnuos hamistapkos b'shmiya bilvad, oba amiras Haggadah b'lachash. Okay. In any event, getting back to our issue over here, listen to what the Ramah adds now. One more line of the Mechaber. V'imlav, hu sholos atzmo, clearly going in order. First the Bain. If the Bain doesn't ask, he should teach him. And if even that's not possible, then what? Then the wife asks. V'imlav, hu sholos atzmo, v'afil tamich hacham sholom zel azek manish tana. The Ramah openly says, ukesha Bain ola isha sho'el es, ein sorech lomer manish tana. The Ramah specifically says that if the Bain or the wife would ask the Manish Tana, it's not necessary to repeat it. Why? Because that's it. The questions are just a way of getting to Sipur. And this is based on the Ma'aril. What would you do instead? You start with Avadim Hayinu. So according to this Mahalach, and this seems to be the simple pshat in the Gemara, where does Magid begin? Avadim Hayinu. questions are a springboard for the Maggid to take place. If you ask the, if the questions are asked, that's it. You're ready to go into Maggid. If the questions aren't asked, then you have to ask the questions. Because the Tzipor must be a type of Tzipor, which is the Tzipor of an answer. So questions need to be posed. Specific questions.
So why if you're by yourself, for instance, do you need to ask yourself the questions? Because can't you just go straight into the Tzipor?
No, because that would be lacking in the Tzura of an answer. You need dialogue. Tzipor must be dialogue. So without the initiation of the questions, Tzipor would lack that. It does. It still has question and answer. It has that surah. It at least has to have that surah. That's the point. Chazal set it up that way. The Higat to Labincha has to be done in such a way that it's a surah of a dialogue. The ideal is where it's a true dialogue, where there's a question and an answer, and an answerer, but one who responds, one who gives an answer. But where that's not the case, it still has to have that form. It might be more artificial in that case, it's true. But it still has to have that format. Now the problem is, I think everyone's familiar with this problem. Did you look at the Rambam?
Yeah.
The Rambam in Parak Ches. Is that the Rambam you showed me?
That's the question?
Yeah, of course.
How does it work if the son's not a chacham?
The wife asks.
But it says if the son's not a chacham, the father teaches him. What would be going on there?
The im ein chachma bein aviv malamdo.
Yeah, what's that?
Im ein lo bein. The mechaber learns the Mishnah to mean, if he doesn't have a son, even that he could teach him.
But what's happening if he teaches him? The father's asking the questions? And
sounds like it, yeah. Yeah, he's
asking and telling him all everything.
Well, Oviv Malamdo, that's why I submitted at the outset that the Mishnah is a little bit difficult. First you teach him this, and then at the end it says, Malamdo according to his Chachma. Right. The Manashah, are you teaching him this text or not? So I'd like it. Right, so that's one of the suggestions that were made. Avi Hirschman made that suggestion, and Zach mentioned the Reb Chaim, that, yeah, maybe it means you teach him that text, but not just the basic text, you teach him more of the ideas of that text. The problem is with the Rambam, and again, we can only answer it partially, I would like to hear what you have to say, but the Rambam clearly is not fit in with this model. The Rambam in Perek Ches famously says, in learning the Mishnah, Mosgamel Kosheni, Kana Ben Shoel, period. The Omer HaKore Manishtana. Right? So what do you see? What do you see from the Rambam? That the Manishtana is part of Haggadah. It's part of Maggid. Now the onus is really on the Rambam to explain that. The simple pshat is not like that.
What does it mean that it's part?
It has to. So that's why he starts with the Ben Shovel, because
there is questions, right? There is questions. Yes,
sure.
There is questions. The Rambam is not just discounting that. There must be questions somehow. They say Reb Chaim used to come to the Seder with a pot on his head to get the children to ask questions. The questions didn't necessarily have to be about the current Pesach. It could just be very basic questions: what's going on here? What's so special? Why is tonight different? Whatever the child level, whatever the level the child's on. But the way the Rambam is learning is the Omer HaKori Manishtana, that the four kashas, the four kashas, the Manishtana, is not necessarily questions. They are, as Rosh Hashiva has said many times, they're statements in the form of questions. That's the way the Rav, I think, explained the Rambam. That they were four statements in the format of questions. Why? Because again, since Sipur has to have the tsura of a dialogue, so the introduction to Sipur had to specifically have that format, had to have that surah. I think that idea of the Rav is recounted in the Siach HaGrid. It's certainly been discussed here by the Rosh Hashiva. I think it's recorded. And someone told me it's also in the Siach HaGrid and the Nahar and Kedem. But the problem is that does not fit in, certainly against this Ma'aril. Right? Because if you learn like the Rambam, even if the child would ask the Manishtana, if a katan will be the one to ask the Manishtana, right? What would you have to do according to the Rambam? You'd have to repeat it. You'd have to repeat it. How do you know you have to repeat it? Well, it's part of Maggid. It's part of Maggid. Right? So there are problems with this Rambam. From the Gemara alone, there are problems with this Rambam.
Can we get the Rambam again?
Just, yeah. Recap?
Yeah.
Repeat?
Yeah.
Peter Bingo.
The Ma'aril, which the Ramah cites over here, basically is in line with the simple pshat in the Gemara, and that is, if you have someone to ask the Manash Tana, that's it. The Manash Tana has been asked, now you can move over to Seaport. The implication being that that's not necessarily part of Seaport.
This is the Rama quoting the Ma'aril.
The Ma'aril, right. But what I'm saying is that that's not a surprise based on the Mishnah and the Gemara. Right? First, your son asks. If your son can't ask, your wife asks. And only then you ask yourself, what would happen if the son asked? You wouldn't ask the questions, apparently, right? If the wife asked, you wouldn't ask the questions. What would you do? Well, the Mayinu. Doesn't Rashi say something like that as well?
After the four Qs, you move on to the Seaport. Regardless of who asks the four questions. Right?
I'm sorry.
Four questions. It just says
what'd you say?
After the questions. Oh, wait, it's not the four questions?
It doesn't say four questions. It says after the
five science. Questions.
Right. Din hu she shol mezigas kosheni manashtana. It's clear from, that's the Rashbam. According to the Rashbam, he's asking the manashtana. Specifically asking the manashtana.
Okay, so then after these questions, regardless of who asks them, you can move on. To Seaport. That's yeah, what the Ramah exactly. is saying.
That's what who?
Ramah.
That's what the Ramah is saying, yeah, based on the Ma'aril. He says, openly, Kesha Bein Oha Isha, Sho Elas, Ein Sarach Lomar, Manistana, Ela Maskla Avodim. But from the Rambam, it's Mashma not like that. Not, right? The Rambam is saying, Kana Ben Shoel, the Omar Akari Manistana. So, first of all, what the Rambam said was that the Kana Ben Shoel is not talking about Manistana. Necessarily. He's asking about questions. Whatever questions the child was inspired to ask. Whatever questions the child was moved to raise, there are basic questions he had. That's Sheila Sabain. You answer with Manishtana. You answer with these statements in the form of questions. Some actually want to say Manishtana is more like an exclamatory. How different is this night? You have questions? Well, let me tell you. You know how different this night is?
Sure.
Exactly. How one, you know, like how wondrous. Ma rab masach Hashem. Manishtana alay lazer. Same idea. So I'm not really asking a question. I'm saying something in the form of a question. But I'm saying the problem with that, I don't necessarily have an answer. Problem with that approach of the Rambam, even if you want to say that's pshat in the Rambam, how'd the Rambam learn this piece of Gemara?
It's close.
What do you mean?
You get close. That sounds like that. Abim Lando, you teach him the... You sound like the Abim's the one making the statement.
I'm saying, would you say you have to go back and read the Manash Tana? According to the Rambam, the Kori has to read the Manash Tana.
Yeah. Could read it in.
The Maaser Rav, you tell me what you think he held. Well, he's saying, this is the Gra. The Talmud of the Gra. Az Mosgin Hakos V'Sho'olin Manishtana. Sho'olin, I don't know, period. V'Omer Hagada V'Kulam Shomim.
It's separate.
Sounds like it's separate.
Yeah.
Right?
But then he says the Hagada. He held it with the Hagada.
Again, you know, it's hard to be Mudaic so much and safer like this, but, you know, it is interesting. Again, Mosgin Hakos, V'Sho'olin Manishtana. And then V'Omer Hagada V'Kulam Shomim. Sounds like the Korei is reading, saying the Hagada, and everyone's listening, but that seems like it's after the Manishtana. Right? Would you agree with that? In the note, Mavur me minag rabbeinu, the ain sar shakolam suvim yomer hagada. You don't have to have everyone saying the hagada. Yesh mefarshim gol das rabbeinu yotzim hashem idei chavasa mitzvah sibris mitzrayim midin shamea keone. The biyotzim shamea keone. Sheshomim me abalabayis. Ve'ayim bekovitz mefarshim. Shekatzav ha'amudei or raya mipsachim kuf tat zayin on beiz. Sheyotzim besibim midin shamea keone. Kakasam min chaschenoch. Te'ef shalatzeis idei chavas mitzvah sibris mitzrayim midin shamea keone. Then he says something even further. He says, "Ube'emes nira the ain't tzarich latzeis midin shamei kohen. You don't really need shamei kohen. Why not? El the kachi tzuras hamitzvah. The whole mitzvah is to be done like this. That one person is a mesaper, is a reader." It's no different. The mitzvah is emerging in the way that it's intended to be. There's a mesaper and there are shomim. So what do I care if I'm on the receiving end or not? But the person who's reading has to be a Bach Yuva. If you want to tell me that the mitzvah of shofar is to hear, I still have to have the shofar blown by someone who can effectuate shofar blowing. Same thing over here. Even if you'll tell me I have to be part of the sipur Yisis Mitzrayim as a sipur, which just means that there needs to be a reader, there needs to be a teller of the story in order for me to be involved in a sipur. Yeah, but the one who's telling has to be a bar hachi. Otherwise, it doesn't have the same sipur. Right? But the question would still be on the Rambam, has the Rambam fit in with the Gemara? And I'll just end with one last point over here. At the bottom of the Amud, maybe we'll try to take this up tomorrow, a little bit past this piece. And there are a few problems with the Rambam. The truth is that the Chassam Sofer and his on this Seif from Shulchan Aruch says from the Gemara to Mashma, like the Ma'aril, that you don't go back for the Manash Tana. He says, however, the Rambam says like this. He's clearly acknowledging that the Rambam is not in line with the Pashas of the Gemara. It would be nice if we could try to fit the Rambam in with the simple Pshat in the Gemara, if it's possible. I don't know if it is possible or not, but if it is possible, what? No, I wouldn't say that. He might have had an answer. He might have had it. Just even, are you joking? I mean, I know.
No,
you're joking.
I'm half kidding. But being serious.
Then what? To think that we could do something that Sam Sofer couldn't do?
Yeah.
No, we have the benefit of a few hundred years of Torah that's been generated since his time. So, Sam Sofer died in the 1800s, mid 1800s. Maybe 200. As long as we understand that we stand on the shoulders of those that came before us, I don't think it's so. What's been there? Again, just because he doesn't record it doesn't mean he didn't have an idea. But the other thing that I wanted to mention is that at the bottom of the Gemara, the Gemara says, the bottom of the Amud rather, the Gemara says, Rav Nachman says to his Eved, he says, listen, if you'd be set free, and the Eved would be set free, what would be the appropriate response? So the Eved says, let him free and he would give him gold and silver. Let him free and we give him a lot of riches. What would be the appropriate thing for him to do? So he says, he would have to say, Amalei, boy lo oduye uvishuche. He would have to thank the master and give praise to the master. Thank him and give praise to him. So he responds by saying, the Gemara says, Amalei, patarta milomer manishtana. You parted us from saying Manashtana. Now, what does that mean? What did he say? He said you'd have to give Shevach and Hodah to the master. And Rav Nachman says, oh, you parted us from saying Manashtana. That's not a question?
No.
Yeah, that's not. What is that? Certainly, the Ram's going to have a hard time with that. What do you mean you parted us from Manashtana? She told me Manashtana, Omer HaKoyim Manashtana, irrespective of the Sheol Sabain, if that's what the Rama means, then this is a question. Forgetting about the Rama, just a simple question. What does Manashtana have to do with the fact that he said, oh, you would have to give Shevach to the master? See if you want to tell me that there were questions that were raised. You say, okay, now you don't have to ask the text of the Manashtana, fine. But here there were what kind of questions? No questions. He said that would be the appropriate thing for an Eved to do. So I think we have to re-examine this a little bit on both levels, just on the Pshat of the Gemara, and maybe to see if we could get a little further Pshat in the Rambam. Okay? All right, we'll stop here.